It pleases the court, counsel. My name is Andrew J. McGowan, and I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant in this case, John Beard. Mr. Beard is appealing the district court's denial of motion for judgment of acquittal based on insufficient evidence that he possessed a derringer under 924C and insufficient evidence that he carried the derringer during an relation.
What's your theory as to how the derringer got in the central console?
Your Honor, that's a very interesting question, and I must say that I do not have a theory.
That's no good. So in other words, if you don't have any alternative explanation,
the problem is that there are so many possible alternative explanations.
Well, look, how about one?
Well, how about the driver had the gun?
The driver had it, and then he forgot it, and he just left it there?
The driver?
Left a loaded gun?
The driver, Tracy Lewis, didn't testify at the second trial. It's a derringer. It's something that fits very appropriately in somebody's purse. If the driver was worried about some sort of other crime, some sort of crime just on the street, which some people who advocate for concealed possession of weapons certainly are worried about.
There are obviously many reasons why someone would possess such a gun, but to forget about it? These things are expensive. You don't just forget. You have a loaded gun and walk away and lose it.
Normally, under most circumstances, I would agree with Your Honor that a valuable possession is something that people keep track of. I don't know how valuable a derringer is. To the person who...
Were you appointed in this case? Did you try it?
Your Honor, yes, I did. I tried it with David Moak.
And then you were appointed through the appeal.
Well, we carried it on through the appeal, yes.
Attaboy.
And then Beard didn't testify at the trial.
No, he didn't.
The gun was not his.
And in fact, there were two trials. The driver testified in the first trial, but did not in the second trial. The second trial, the owner of the car testified. Now, the problem with coming up with any number of different possible solutions for why the gun was there.
In each of those cases, did the question of ownership of the gun come up in direct cross-examination of the driver or the owner?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that the question was posed to both the confidential informant the government used, Homer Harris, about the gun. He had never seen Mr. Beard with a gun, even though he
we're talking about ownership. Did either one of them acknowledge ownership of the
No, Your
Was
Honor.
The question asked?
Not during trial, no.
Why not?
The driver didn't testify at the second trial. I believe the driver was asked in the first trial, but I can't recall.
There's no evidence that the driver was involved in the drug deal, is there?
No, there was no evidence about the driver in the second trial at all. In the first trial, the driver testified.
So the driver didn't have any testimony helpful to you, and neither did the owner, and you don't present any evidence that this derringer is some cheap little thing that someone could easily forget about or walk away from.
Your Honor, the problem is that the car could have been used. Car could have been used by a number of people, and in fact, the evidence of
possession. But you said you didn't know whether the derringer was valuable or not. We could have found out. In the record, isn't it? The derringer is part of the record.
The derringer is part of the record. I mean, I suppose defense counsel could have.
Why not? The cheaper it is, the more plausible that it's just something someone left there.
It's certainly something the government could have proven too, if they were so concerned about it.
You can present evidence.
Saturday Night Special is a cheap weapon, isn't it?
And it's more powerful than a derringer.
Wouldn't be one you'd forget.
The derringer being in the center console, under a closed center console under a document, is a puzzle, and I admit that. But it's the government's burden to prove that the person possessed it, and then in this case carried it during
the
relationship.
But if the defendant doesn't offer any alternative explanation, then jury is entitled to find. Well, look, there isn't direct evidence, but we can't think of any other possibility.
You don't just
leave guns lying around, loaded guns lying around and for other people to pick up and walk off with.
Your Honor, I submit that this is a variation of the government's argument here, which I would characterize as a strict liability argument.
No. Because the inference that has to be drawn is that this is Beard's gun. He put it there.
the government's brief is rife with speculation about how it might have gotten there and how Mr. Beard should have.
Well, I was asking you for your speculation. You haven't offered. You haven't given. You haven't even. You haven't answered my question. You haven't. You have no theory as to how it got there.
It could have been put in there by any of the five people who had the papers.
Well, why
would
they do that? Why would they put it in there and then forget about it?
Well, it is possible under the facts of this case that somebody else actually possessed the car for a much longer time than Mr. Beard.
Fine, but it's still, if it's his gun, when he stops possessing it, he takes it away with him. He doesn't leave it for someone else.
Unless, for instance, the car was still at the repair shop because it hadn't been paid for and people were using it from the repair shop. Now, what if one person had consistently used that car and didn't know that somebody else was going to use it?
Is there any evidence of that?
No, there's no evidence at all.
So you're relying on the fact that the government didn't prove what you think it's required to prove.
Exactly. And I believe this, I'm characterizing this as a strict liability argument because the government's saying that he should have looked,
of course,
he should have been able to infer that he looked through the car, which was full of documents from other people, before he put drugs in it.
Your guy but never denied that he had possession or owned the gun. He was willing to agree that. Except the fact that he had the car off and on and that the owner wanted to get it back and never got it back. He promised to return it and didn't return it, and all those things are in.
Right, but there are no statements about whether he possessed it or not. The only real evidence that he possessed the car were that he took the car in February 1999 to get it fixed. That at some point between September and February, Homer Harris saw him in the car in Springfield at one point. And then September 11th, or October 11th and 12th, when he was arrested, essentially.
Well, so essentially, there was no evidence that anybody else possessed the car except him during that period.
No, there were documents in the car that other people possessed it. In fact, there were traffic tickets that he denied, according to the evidence in the record, incurring to the owner.
He denied on the stand?
He denied to the owner. The owner, through testimony, if you're taking the owner's...
I thought you said he didn't testify.
Yeah.
He didn't, but she made a statement of what he told her during her testimony, the owner of the car. She had one telephone conversation with him October 11th, which was the day before he was arrested.
Well, that's not admissible for him, is it?
Your Honor, it was admissible and it was admitted. It was admitted. It was part of the evidence, and she testified to it.
And his statements would be admissible in any event as a party to the proceeding.
Your Honor, she was asked, and she answered.
His exculpatory statement is admissible.
He's
dealing drugs. He's concealing drugs in this car. It makes sense for him to have a gun, wouldn't it?
It certainly happened before, Your Honor. It's not necessarily proven in this case.
You don't have to confess, Your Honor. Confess. Thank you again.
In any event, Your Honor, I would reserve the rest of my time for
okay, thank you, Mr. McGowan. Mr. Risley?
May it please the Court, Counsel. Your Honors, this is a circumstantial evidence case. And under the
kind of thin.
Your Honor, this is a case in which a rational jury could have returned a verdict either way. We don't maintain otherwise. I would have been somewhat surprised if they had returned a verdict of not guilty, but it would certainly have been rational. That's not the question. The question here is whether a rational jury...
But there was sufficient evidence that I would say to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he possessed the weapon.
Correct.
Okay.
Was the Derringer shown to the jury?
Yes.
Is it a classy gun or is it just some little piece of junk?
Your Honor, the record doesn't show. I have personal knowledge. It's kind of a medium line. As Derringer go, it wasn't top of the line or a
Your Honor, argument, I'm going to inquire of my compatriot whether or not he's familiar with weapons along those lines because I've just learned something. The definition of circumstantial evidence, the difference between factum probatum and factum probandum. And how about that? Sounds erudite, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, it's not mine, it's Blackstone's. And what he said it's proof that leads to the conclusion you're trying to reach. It may not be that direct, but it leads to that conclusion. And your position is that there's enough here to hang it in there.
That's correct.
Anything else you have to say?
No.
Any other questions? Before I relieve him of his obligations.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ridley. Well, okay. You don't have anything for... Okay, well, thank you, Mr. McGowan. And...